This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Well, how many of you ready for this morning? Real quick, ready? All right, the Lord's laid something on my heart I want to share with you this morning. I think it's amazing. I think it's going to impact your life. I know it's going to impact your life. And it really begins with the whole title of who's leading who, okay? I want you to think about that for a moment in your own life, is who's leading who? Who's leading who? And then let's draw this morning a spiritual connotation, a spiritual connection on who's leading who. I've got this burden in my heart as we get into summer, and I'm like, man, maybe I should have waited, God, to preach this sermon on another day, another time when summer's over and everyone's back. And also, but I felt like it's for us today, and it's a burden to equip you in an area of your life that maybe you haven't really walked into the fullness that God has you to walk in, or maybe you haven't experienced it to the level that God wants you to experience it. And so I want to talk to you today. You ready for this? I want to talk to us today on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. How do we be led by the Holy Spirit? And I want you to think about the fact that God, hear me, this is important, that God is able to lead every single decision you need to make in life. God's able to lead that. Sometimes you might feel like, well, it's all on me to make this decision. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to lead every decision you have for your life. And so I want to teach you how to live a life 100% led by the Holy Spirit. In just a few months, the state of Montana, or maybe in a month or two, is going to experience this thing where their weather changes. And it's prep for the worst season of every year, okay? It's prep for the worst season. We are about to experience fall. How many fall fans do we have in the house today? Or come on, right? There's a lot of fall fans here, right? I love fall. I love fall. But when I grew up in Florida, right? The great country of Florida. And I grew up in Florida, and we looked forward to fall. Because Pastor Britton can agree with this. When fall began to happen in Florida, the temperatures changed. It went from 95 degrees every day to 88 degrees every day. We were excited. Like, it changed. It was beautiful, right? And it was bizarre, because even that slight change in temperature, people got excited in Florida. Like, it all changed. People started turning their fireplaces on in their houses. Like, I'm not joking. People were wearing flannels outside and hoodies on them and walking around drinking their hot pumpkin spice lattes, you know, because the temperature started to change. And they would have these farms in Florida that began to open up with the heading Fall Festival. And I was one of those that it was one of those experiences that were absolutely horrible. It was horrible to attend. Like, listen to me. Imagine this, try riding in hay rides at 85 degrees. And it's not fun, y'all. It's just not fun. While you're sipping on an apple cider, you know what I mean? It's just not fun, right? And to add to the Florida Fall Festival experience, right? Because Florida wants to keep up with the cooler states. Like, the longer I've lived in the north, I've always like, why did we ever talk about snow and all that during Christmas time in Florida? It makes no sense. But to keep up with all the other states, some demented Florida farmer decided, I'm going to create a corn maze where people can come and enjoy fall experience in Florida walking through a corn maze. Now imagine with me just a moment the heat trapped in a corn maze that's above your head, right? And we would start out as kids, happy as can be, excited. We're going to run. We're going to go through this corn maze. And it seemed fun until you're walking for a while and you hit a dead end. You just hit that dead end. The experience goes from happy and excited to like, this is depressing very fast. And I want out of here. We was with some friends. True story. We get lost in one of these farm corn mazes. And we didn't know where to go. We're walking, it's hot, we're sweaty, we want out. Like, and we're walking around, we think we're gonna do it, and we hit like this dead end. I'll never forget it. And we're just like, we're done, I gotta get. It's like you start to panic. The humidity takes over in your lungs, and you're like, I gotta get out of here. And so we're trapped, and we're in this group. And I remember one of my friends, you know, one of the taller ones, we're standing down there, and he starts trying to bop his head over the corn, right? And he's like, help. We're lost. We want out. And he's going up and down. We don't like this anymore. Help us. And then literally within moments, you're like, here comes this farmer around the corner of the corn maze. And he's got his overalls on and everything. And he's like, he claps his hands at us. And he's like, come follow me. Come on, come and follow me. And after feeling lost for what seemed like an hour in this corn maze, in 2 minutes, we made our exit. We walked out, never to return again. And for that moment, from that moment, reflecting on that moment in my life, I thought, isn't that just like the Holy Spirit? Isn't that just like the Holy Spirit? When you hit a dead end in life and you don't know where to go, God has not left you stranded. God has not left you. He has not left you stranded by yourself. He has sent the Holy Spirit to lead us through the corn maze of life. He really has. And I know your dead end probably doesn't look like my dead end. They're all different in the rooms. Your dead end might be a job. You're at a dead end job and you don't know what to do. Can I tell you, do you know that the Holy Spirit can guide you? You might be in a relationship or there's a, you wonder if this relationship or if is this friend good for me? Does this friend or does this person bring out the best of me? And it feels like maybe this relationship's at a dead end. Do you know the Holy Spirit can guide you through that? You've got a financial decision and you go, do I do it here? Do I go here? Do I spend it here? Do I make this decision? And either way you're thinking in your mind, this could lead to a dead end. Do you know you need a God at that moment who will guide you through that decision? You've committed to spend more time. I'm going to spend more time. I'm going to read through the Bible. I'm going to spend more time reading. And all of a sudden, you get to Deuteronomy. And it feels like a dead end. How do I get through this? Like, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Come on, you've been there before, right? Where you're looking for the easy way out. You're trying to drive through the neighborhood. You're trying to drive somewhere and I gotta find an easier route. And then all of a sudden you hit the dead end sign, right? You hit the dead end side of the street. And what's your mentality? What do you say? Oh man, I gotta go back the way I came. This wasn't easier. This wasn't quicker. I'm gonna try to teach us this morning. I want to teach you how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus addresses this because Jesus came to lead the disciples out of dead ends in their lives. And into whatever life, into whatever God called them, he wanted them to have life and life to the full. The fullness that God has for you. And when he was leaving earth, he gave his disciples this amazing, amazing promise. It's found in John 14 that says this. Jesus is talking and he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. When you read that scripture, advocate is the key word. If you're taking notes, you got to get this morning. Write this down. An advocate means this, one who comes alongside. One who comes alongside. It's the man in the corn maze. He comes alongside of you. It's the guy at Home Depot. How many of you are thankful for the guy at Home Depot? Unless you're that good dude, like I'm not. I'm thankful for that person at Home Depot. When I need a hex screw, I don't even know if that's a real thing, but if I need a hex screw, right? And instead of that guy saying, well, it's somewhere over there, just go look over there. I love the guy at Home Depot says, hey, the hex screw is on aisle 14 about halfway down. In fact, why don't I take you and show you where it is? He's an advocate. And Jesus says, I will give you another, an advocate, and get this, and he will be with you. How long? Forever. He's the Spirit of Truth. Then it goes on, he writes this, Jesus says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him and he lives with you and will be in you. This is why Some of us have avoided, hear me this morning, as Assembly of God Pentecostal Church, this is why some have avoided the Holy Spirit in our lives, because you've learned from the world that the Holy Spirit is weird. That the Holy Spirit is spooky stuff. That when we talk the Holy Spirit, we're like, that's abstract. Like, it's kind of out there. I don't really want to be a part of that. And what we don't understand is the world wants nothing to do with him. They don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. So we buy into that lie. Well, if you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's weird. If you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's confusing. Can I encourage you with something today? The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. Come on. Some of you are weird. Not me, you. People are weird. But the Holy Spirit is not weird, right? Remember what the scripture said. You know him. He lives in you. He will be in you. Imagine going through life and you have a guide. You have an advocate. What school do I go to? What relationship do I have? How do I raise my children? How do I resolve conflict? How do I spend my money? How do I experience healing? Let me go on. What career do I take? How do I read God's word? How do I serve God better? What's my next step? There is a guide for your life called the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide every one of those decisions for you, right? So hear me this morning. How do we be led by the Holy Spirit? Can I, it'll be on the screen, but can I just give you this real quick reality? Everyone's led by something. Everyone's led by something. It's all a matter of what it is. And you're either going to be led by your flesh or you're going to be led by the Spirit. Which one is it? And let's be real this morning, church people. Most of the terrible mistakes that we've made in life are because you were led by your flesh. You were led by your flesh. You look back and you say, I should have never responded that way. I should have never have said that. What was leading you? Your flesh. You know, you should have never said what you said. What got you there? Your flesh. What got you there? You should have thought, I never should have thought that thought. Well, what got you there? Your flesh. Your flesh will always lead you the wrong way. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to this wonderful book, Romans, and he's writing this book to equip the church in Rome on how to live by the Spirit. And real quickly this morning, I want to walk through one chapter with you that really talks where Paul digs into this life of being led by the Spirit. Look what it says in Romans 8:14. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So as children of God, we are led by his Spirit. So here's the question we have to ask. And I'm going to break this down today for you real quickly in two parts. And it will be clear to you, I hope. And then we'll also be able to put some things into practice. But hear me this morning. The first part is, if the Holy Spirit is leading us, if he truly wants to lead us, what does the Holy Spirit lead us to? I mean, if you're being led somewhere, you're going somewhere. So what does the Holy Spirit, as an advocate, as a guide, where does he want to lead you to? What's the goal? What's the end? What's at the end of the maze? So I broke this down into a few things real quickly this morning. Where does the Holy Spirit want to lead us? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit leads us to Christ. It leads us to Jesus Christ. The first role of the activity of the Holy Spirit is to draw you closer to Jesus Christ. This happens first if in the room you've had the opportunity to give your life to Jesus and you've decided to follow him. You accepted him not because you raised your hand in a service one time, not because you've done really good stuff and been a really good person. You accepted Jesus because you were in a service like this, or you were at some other moment, and the Holy Spirit gripped your heart. They gripped your heart, and it drew you to Christ, right? And you said yes to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, because his job, the Holy Spirit's job, is to bring you to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Bible says it this way, again, looking at Romans chapter 8. Listen to what this says. It's so good. Romans chapter 8. Starting at verse 3, it says, "For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the what? The Spirit. What is it? According to the Spirit. So we as believers can honor God and can live right before God. Why? Because we came to Jesus not on our own, but the Spirit drew us to him. And if there's anything we should be thankful for, I don't know if anyone in the room is thankful that the Spirit drew you to Jesus Christ at one point in your life. That's a good thing. That's good news for us. And as believers, the Spirit continually draws you to Christ, right? You don't arrive. You're daily being drawn closer to God. That's why we say you need to pray. You need to read the Bible. You need to worship, because through these things, the Holy Spirit will draw you deeper and deeper and deeper. And I want you to understand something this morning. There's more of God for you to experience than you've ever experienced before. There is more to Christ than you know. There's more to be known about him, and the Holy Spirit wants to reveal him more and more and more to your life. You've got to let the Holy Spirit lead you to Christ. And I love how, maybe you've heard this great theologian writer, but I love his quote. A.W. Tozer says this, it'll be on the screen. He says, I don't want the world to define God for me. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal God to me. I don't want to just know about God. I want to experience God. I want to experience him in my life, speaking to me, active and present. We need the Holy Spirit because he leads us to Christ, thus reveals Christ to us. Here's the second thing the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads us to peace. The Holy Spirit leads us to peace. In other words, he's not going to lead you to drama after drama after drama after drama. I'm going to be hard on some of you today, but I just believe this. Some of us live our lives, right? We're wrapped in one crisis to the next crisis to the next crisis. One drama to the next drama to the next drama. Right? Person X doesn't like this or that. They have a problem with this. They have a problem with that, until someone tells person X, you're the problem. You're the problem. Why does drama follow you in the room today? Because you're being led by your flesh instead of being led by the Spirit. That's why drama follows you. Look what Paul says. He says, get this, because look what he's about to say. You got to get this, because there's such a call in the body of Christ today to bring peace into every situation. It is a call on the church. In a world that is full of turmoil, you and I represent peace. We represent peace, not drama. We're not here to bring drama into the world. We're here to bring peace into the world. Look what it says in chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. What does the Spirit desire? Peace. Look what it says in verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Peace. Isn't that what we all want? I mean, reality, let's talk about it. Isn't that what the world needs today, is peace? So what do we do as believers? We walk into every environment led by the Spirit of God, and guess what we do? We bring peace. Not turmoil, not chaos, we bring peace. Peace. We bring it into our homes. We bring it around our kids and our grandkids. We bring it into our schools. We bring it into our workplace. And dare I say, we bring it into our church. Peace. Everywhere we go, peace is present. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what you're going through. We can say to ourselves, because I'm led by the Spirit, I'm going to carry peace into every situation. I'm going to bring peace into every situation. Why? Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Listen to me, church. It will change your life if you allow peace to reign. Let me tell you what peace looks like sometimes, right? Peace looks like this sometimes. When you want to respond to a comment, when you want to write something on social media, or even respond to something you just feel inside, and you pause and you say this, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit going. It's the Holy Spirit working in your life saying, instead of writing that comment, saying that thing, doing that thing, I'm gonna bring peace. I'm gonna bring peace. You know that one person that just knows how to get under your skin? You know that one person, like, I can't be around them and go to the doctor at the same time because my blood pressure will be, right? You know that person? You want to respond, right? Then this check comes to your spirit. You know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to bring peace into this situation. Today is my wife Kim and I's 29th wedding anniversary today. 29 years. And I know I don't look that old. We got married when we were very young, like 16. There are many times, even in an argument, right? Because, I mean, we don't argue, right? Of course, we're pastors. We don't argue. But even in an argument, we know we just need to take a time out. Even in an argument, there's times where, like, we just need to leave that there and walk away. And hear me, church, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will always tell her how wrong she is, okay? Not true, just kidding. But there's times we just have to walk away. It's amazing when you do that how peace comes. It's amazing how peace comes. There's peace in our marriage, not perfect, but there's peace in our marriage because the Holy Spirit is involved in our marriage. It's involved in it. The Holy Spirit brings peace. It leads us to peace. The Holy Spirit, hear me on this one. You're not going to like this one, but anyway. The Holy Spirit leads us to holiness. Holy Spirit leads us to holiness. How many of you ever noticed that it's called the Holy Spirit? Like it's in his name because he produces holiness in your life. I want you to get this. So if you are one of those people who are really connected to the Holy Spirit, yet you have no real holiness in your life, I would say you're not really connected to the Holy Spirit that I know. You're not really connected to the Holy Spirit. You have to actually let it produce some fruit in your life. You have to. Can I just say this to you? Here's what's happened in the church of Jesus Christ. You got to get this. Here's what's happened in the church of Jesus Christ over the last few decades. You know what's happened? We've become more in love with the gifts of the Spirit than we are with the fruit of the Spirit. We become more in love with the gifts of the Spirit than we are with the fruit of the Spirit. That's gonna hurt, but it's true. We love all the emotion, we love the feeling, but we don't like the life change. We don't like that we actually have to act out what it looks like to have the Spirit inside of us. It's okay to come to church and raise my hands and worship and be here every day, but as soon as it doesn't fit with what I like, the fruit goes out the door because it's just about the gift. And it's become everywhere. I grew up in a church for a short time in my life, my young teenage years, that was what we would call wild charismatic, okay? Like, it was one of those churches that if there was a gift of the Spirit, we all had it times 10, okay? It was that church. And every service was like lit, like that and that and that. And I remember there was this guy, true story, who was the spiritual guy in our church as a young teenager. He always had the word. He was always the one who had a prophecy. He was always the one that was at the center of everything that had to do with our church spiritually. But I also remember that he was the meanest man in the church. Yelling at kids, never happy, never joyous. And I got to admit, as a 15-year-old, it confused me. No fruit in his life. How can somebody be so connected to God yet is so disconnected from holiness? I don't get it. It didn't make sense to me because we've broken this down where we make it about some emotion instead of real life change. God wants real life change way over he wants your emotion. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life. He will put a spotlight, whether you like it or not. He'll put a spot on your life and he'll say, hey, don't talk to your spouse like that. Hey, don't encourage your kids better. Put that spot on life and say, hey, be careful taking on that offense. He'll put a spot on life and say, hey, watch where you let your thoughts go. who put a spotlight on your life that says, hey, be careful about the chatter you're getting in. Who put a spotlight on your life, get this one, watch how you use God's blessings. Watch how you use them. Hear me this morning, the Holy Spirit will do this stuff, and he's not doing it to shame you, he's doing it to change you. He's not doing it to change you, he's doing it to change you so that you can be all that God's calling you to be. He's trying to get you out of the corn maze. That's all he's trying to do. Again, Paul's talking in Romans chapter 8, start at verse 12, listen to what he says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, guess what it says? You will live. This is the reality. If you go with whatever your flesh wants, if you do whatever you want, if you live however you want, can I just be honest with you? It will kill the call of God on your life. You live and do whatever you want, it will kill the things of God operating in your life. Let me give you another quick, great A.W. Tozer quote. I love it. It says this, you can reform a person's life, but it can never transform him. Only the Holy Spirit can transform. We can change, we can live good lives, we can do good things, but are you truly living a transformed life? Because only the Holy Spirit can transform. So you want to get better? You want to end this year better than the way you started it? You want to see breakthrough in your life? The only way to do it is to be led by the Spirit of God, because he will lead you into holiness. Number four, real quick, the Holy Spirit leads us to understanding our new identity. You are giving a new identity in Christ, right? The old goes away, the Bible tells us, and you become born again. When you accept Christ, if you're born again, you've accepted Jesus in your life, then you have to figure out, who am I? I'm not that person anymore. It says that I'm born again. The old is gone. Now I got to figure out, who am I? And many times we don't know. It's confusing. Like, I've got this new start. I'm this new person, but who am I? Well, here it is. The Holy Spirit tells us, Romans chapter 8, Paul goes on and writes, verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. You're adopted by God. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Come on, this is good stuff. Basically, you and God get to do life together. It's not on your own. He's not far off going, well, hey, enjoy life. You get to do life together. You're co-heirs. You walk together. You talk together. We get to share in it all. It all belongs to us. Why? Because we have a new identity. And the enemy, hear me, this is the tough part. The enemy is an all-out assault on your identity. All-out assault. That he wants to get you to question everything. Question God, question your church, question your leadership, question your purpose. He wants you to question doctrine. He wants you to question your gender. I mean, he wants you to question. He's trying to get you to question everything. And he knows this. The enemy knows that if he can get you confused, if he can get you questioning, then he can get the call of God canceled over your life. You don't want that. And the way to fight that is you have to clarify. You have to understand, who am I in Christ? And the only way to get clarity is you need the Spirit of God leading your life. He leads you into a new identity. You still with me this morning? Number five, real quick. The Holy Spirit leads us to strength. In these moments when you are weak, you say, God, I'm going to lose it if you don't give me strength. God, I can't take these physical challenges over my life anymore. I need your strength. Well, hear me this morning. When life gets overwhelming, when you try to live a holy and righteous life and it's overwhelming, you need strength. What do you do? Well, thankfully, Paul tells us what to do. Romans 8:26, he says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. You guys know that God is praying, that Christ is praying on your behalf? He intercedes for us. Why? Because when we are weak, he is strong. But we can't do it on our own, right? If you're here today, and let me just encourage you, if you're here this morning in this church and you're feeling exhausted and you're feeling tired, I want you to know that you have not been called to live life alone. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You need to be led by him, and he will strengthen you to be all that God has called you to be. He is with you at all times. Here's the last one on this first part. Number six, the Holy Spirit leads us to our ultimate purpose. He leads us to our ultimate purpose. In other words, there is an exit to the corn maze. There's an exit to the corn maze.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
And the only way you can get there, the only way you'll get out of the maze, the only way you get out of confusion is to be led by the Spirit of God. So how do we get there? Look what it says. Romans 8:27. Paul goes on and writes, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." How many of you have ever heard that term, the will of God? Bigger question is, how many of you say, I want the will of God? I want the will of God in my life. Here's how you know, because I hear it all the time. How do I know the will of God? Here's how you know God's will. You get in touch with his Spirit, and his Spirit leads you into God's will. And you would say, well, Pastor Heath, I understand it, but I've submitted myself to the Holy Spirit before. I've been there, done that, and I went through a bunch of bad things. Bad decisions, bad diagnoses, bad finances, bad relationships. What about the bad things that happen after we're led by the Spirit, Pastor Heath? Thank God for verse 28. This is what it says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Look, who have been called according to his purpose. Even in the bad things, can I say this to you? Even in the bad things, God is leading you to your destiny. Even in the bad things. So where does the Holy Spirit lead us, right? Here's the end destination. It'll be on the screen. Just a reminder, right? Put those up for me real quick if you don't mind, right? It leads us to Christ. It leads us to peace. It leads us to holiness. His Holy Spirit's going to lead you in your new identity. He's going to give you strength. And then ultimately, the Holy Spirit leads us to this ultimate purpose that God has for your life and my life. And it is exciting to live that way. I hope this morning that you are thankful that you don't have to get there on your own. The Holy Spirit, you have God himself leading your life. So how do we get there? Let me throw out some real quick this morning as I get ready to wrap up. Let me throw out some practical tools that you can practice, that we can practice even today. So how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We know where the Holy Spirit leads us. Now how do we be led by the Holy Spirit? Can I tell you the first one? How about this one? Release control. Here's a practical one. We like control. How about releasing control? Because you cannot live a life led by the Spirit of God if you are in the driver's seat. Just can't do it, right? So we have to release control. Here's what I've realized about God. God will take control of your life. He will take control of your life, and he will lead you to breakthrough. But as soon as you take back the reins, as soon as you take back the takeover, guess what? God releases it. He's not going to force his will on you. And he's not going to do that. He's not fighting with you on this, guys. In fact, he said in the Old Testament that he's not going to have any other gods before him. He's not going to fight with you on it. So we have to make a decision. Who's in control of your life? Paul reminds us, he says it in this great book, great way to say it, Galatians 5. He says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are," get this last phrase here. We don't like this one. We like to exit out. Can't we just put the dot, dot, dot after that and just leave this last one out? "So that you are not to do whatever you want. Hear me, young person. Oh, wait. Hear me, seasoned person. You are not to do whatever you want. You're not to do whatever you want. Well, you say, well, I'm an American, Pastor Heath. I'm an American. And as an American, I have the freedom to do whatever I want. You know what I'd say to you? Wrong. You're wrong. You are a Christian before you're an American. Your Christianity succeeds your citizenship here on this earth. So we do not belong to just the laws of the land. We are submitted to the laws of God, right? And God says, I'm going to be in control of your life. I'm going to be in control of your life. So we do it his way, not your way. We let him say, hey, God, just have your way with me. We just say to him this way. In fact, it's on the screen. Can I just give you this one thought? It's a good one. This is what I said. Surrender is a daily decision to let God lead. Surrender is a daily decision to let God lead. Some of us have to make that decision every single day of your life if you want the Holy Spirit to lead you. Because it's not like 15 years ago, 30 years ago, I made a decision to follow Christ and that's good enough. It's not good enough. Let me tell you, you got to make the decision today and every day. Are you surrendering your life to him? Some of us need to roll out of bed every morning, and the first thing you do is you fall on your knees and you say that same prayer over and over again. God, I'm submitted to you. I cannot do this on my own. I release control. Second practical one, how to be led by the Spirit. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. This is a theme throughout the scriptures of how to live a life submitted to the Holy Spirit is you have to watch and pray. The disciples, right, they failed at this on the night that Jesus was betrayed, right? We know that Jesus took his disciples to the garden, and the Bible is called the Garden Gethsemane, and he's there with them, and remember, he brings them there, and he tells them to pray with him. Jesus is about to be betrayed. He knows that. He knows he's about to go to the cross, and he wants his closest people to pray with him, to stay with him. And he goes away, and he comes back, and the Bible tells us that he finds his disciples sleeping. And Jesus said this to them in Matthew 26. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Isn't that the reality for all of our lives? Our lives are living in such a way that our flesh is always weak. It always wants to win. We all have these moments when our flesh just gets to us. It just wants to take over, and we wonder what to do. Can I just encourage you with this? Here's what you do. You look with your eyes. You look with your eyes, and you say, God, what are you doing in this moment? Whatever I'm going through, whatever my faith, whatever my flesh, what are you trying to do in this moment? I believe this. It'll be on the screen. It's my mantra for your life. I believe this for my life. There is a God-given assignment in every environment. In every environment, there's a God, there's a reason that you are there. You are in a moment, maybe you're in a place, maybe you're in a situation, and you're miserable. Hear me. There is a God-given assignment for you. It's right there. You have to look for it. This morning I have this sign that's impacted me and impacted my ministry leadership. It's a sign that maybe you've seen before. It's a sign that helps me to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's a sign that's all over our country. It's all over Montana. But people still don't know that this sign exists. And the sign is this. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a yield sign. You might not know what this is, but these are on the streets in Montana and Missoula right now, okay? Most drivers do not understand this. And a yield sign means this. You ready? A yield sign literally means to pause and give way. To pause and give way. It doesn't mean stop. It doesn't mean pull over, it means just pause. Just pause, right? You get to that intersection, right? You see the yield, right? You pause because that could be, there could be an 18-wheeler coming at you and it would destroy you if you didn't pause and give way. Listen to me, you've got to pause and give way. You got to pause and give way. Here's what you do. Before you make decisions, you yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pause and I'm going to give way. You yield to the Holy Spirit. You pause and say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing in these moments in my life? Before you respond to that person, before you write the comment, right, before you say anything, guess what you do? You yield to the Holy Spirit. You pause and you give way. You know what that allows you to do? It allows you to say, God, how do you really want me to respond? And if you do want me to respond, how do you want me to respond? Can I just say something to you? When we pause and give way and we allow the Holy Spirit to yield us, can I just encourage you? It will save you some heartaches. It will save you some headaches. And more importantly, it will save your testimony. It will save your story. Learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, right? You watch and you pray, right? The Holy Spirit, what do you want for my life? How would you want me to yield? And I'm telling you, it's not as difficult as we've made it out to be. It really isn't, right? When you yield, guess what he do? He will guide you. When you pause and you give way, the Holy Spirit will lead you and he will guide you. But boy, how many know in our world today, it's just fast, 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 fast. React, 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 react. But maybe we get more mileage as followers of Christ when we just stop for a moment and we pause and we say, God, what are you trying to teach me in this moment? How would you want me to respond? I yield, I pause, and I give way. I give way. The third practical, real quick, is this. How to be led by the Spirit. Can I encourage you with this? Take a risk. Take a risk. I'm gonna get you here, right? You release control, you watch and pray, and then you have to learn how to take some risk. In other words, we got to put our faith in action. I said it this way. I believe this. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. What is faith? I don't know. I don't see it. I just trust and I risk, right? That's how you practice faith. You risk. James 2:17 reminds us, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead, right? And you know why so much of the world, oh, this is going to hurt, ouch, get ready, buckle. You know why so much of the world out there is suffering right now? Because there's a lot of Christians with their mouths, but not with their hearts and their actions. A lot of Christians with their mouths and their heart, Manny, go ahead, bro. But not with their heart, their actions. Because we know what to do. The Spirit leads us, and we know we need to do certain things, but here's what happens. The Spirit starts to lead us, but we just stop. We just stop. We know we should pray, but we just don't do it. And since we don't do it, we wonder why our faith is dead. We know we should pray, but we just don't do it. We don't make it a part of our life, and we wonder why faith is dead. Can I encourage you this morning? Take a risk. We know we should give and we know we should tithe, but we just don't do it. Can I encourage you, take a risk? And here's the risk this morning. It's really this simple. Here's the risk. Just obey God. Just obey God. As crazy, as weird, as bizarre that might sound, just obey God. Can we just obey God? Take a risk. Challenge God with your faith this morning, church. Challenge God with your faith and see what he just might do for you. See how he might just act for you. You may say, well, sometimes I take a risk and it doesn't work out. Truth. Sometimes I take a risk and it doesn't work out. Well, that's why we call it trusting God. Might not always work out, but do we still trust God? You get in your car this morning, you drove to church. There's not 100% guarantee that it's not going to break down. But it got you here. You trust it, that it will get you to your next destination. Do you trust God the same way? You just put him on and say, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust him. I'm just going to put it on. I'm going to carry it through my life, and I'm going to trust that he's going to work all these things out for me. That's why we call it trusting God. Got to take a risk. Got to take a risk. We got to go after him. We got to trust him. I felt in my spirit this morning and even last night as I was reviewing my message, and I thought that I just believe there are people in this room. There are people in this room here who have just stopped taking risks. You just stopped taking risks. You've been playing it way too safe. You might get there. You might make it. Is that really what you want? Is that really what God's called you to, is just to make it? I don't believe Jesus died on the cross just so you can go to heaven. I believe Jesus died on the cross so we can live a life for him. We can live a life of action. We can live a life of risk, right? You've gotten comfortable. Some of us in this room have just gotten comfortable being an observer. Can I encourage you this morning? Take a risk. Some of you, I believe this, some of us have started giving and then you've started tithing, you started giving to your church, and then your finances tighten up. The economy is kind of messed up right now, and you've pulled back your giving. Can I give you a challenge for you this morning? Take a risk. Trust God. And I just believe this. Once we take a risk, once we trust God, watch how he will honor a life of faith. Watch how, I give you that, watch how he honors a life of faith. Here's what I believe this morning. If there's one statement I want you to take home with you this morning, it's going to be this statement on the screen. I want you to get this. The Lord deposited it in my heart, and I want you to get this. The Spirit is too powerful, and our salvation is too significant to play it safe. That should be amen, okay? Amen. Some of you, like, you're squeezing right now. Ooh, Pastor, it's my last Sunday. And the Spirit is too powerful, man. Our salvation, your salvation, is way too significant to play it safe. Why would we at Christian Life Center want to play a life safe? When we have the Holy Spirit who wants to lead you and guide you, protect you, watch over you, why would we want to play it safe? The Spirit's too powerful, and our salvation is too significant to play it safe. So how do we be led by the Spirit? Let's end with this one. We rely on God's power. How do we be led by the Spirit? We rely on God's power. When you take a step of faith, it's not about you. It's not about your ability. It's not about what you can do. It's about the fact that I'm not great, but God is great, right? It's not about the fact that I'm great. It's the fact that God is great. It's not about that I'm not powerful, but God is powerful. I'm not sufficient, but God is more than sufficient to do the miracle that I need in my life, right? So we have to rely on his power, on his power. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Come on. I'm telling you, God doesn't need perfect people. God doesn't need perfect people. You know what? He just needs available people. He doesn't need perfect people. He just needs available people. People who will say, God, if I step out, will your power come through me? If I step out, will your power work through me? Hear me. Watch what happens when God's people start being led by the Spirit of God. Watch what will happen in your church. What will happen in your life? The world is not ready for the transformation that can happen when you and I are led by the Spirit of God. They're not ready for that transformation. We can't save a life, but he can. We can't transform a life, but he can. We can't heal, but he can, right? When we rely on God's power, we see God's power in our lives, right? I'm just weak, but God, you are strong. I'm inadequate, but you are more than adequate. I'm insufficient, but you are more than sufficient. I want to be led by the Spirit of God in every area of my life. Because you know why? That's what God offers you. He didn't say, well, you can only be led in this direction. I only lead you in this. He says, I will lead you in every area of your life. Close with this last story. When my When we were, Braden was younger, our family was younger, he was just a little guy, probably 3 or 4 years old. We went to this place in Montana, or not Montana, New Hampshire, sorry, New Hampshire to walk, and it's about all these little trails and hills, and there's one area of this where it's like a granite face wall, and they have built, literally, I don't know why they did this, but they built like wooden steps along this granite wall. And it's constantly got moisture, and there's a river on one side, and you drop off, and so these steps literally become slippery. I'm like, who designed this, right? Like, is there laws against this? No railing, no nothing, and we get to this point, we're on this beautiful walk, and we get to this point where you walk this steps, and we're thinking about our four-year-old boy who is crazy, right? Like, how do we walk this and let him do it by himself? Uh-uh. Like, how do we accomplish this? And so what I decided to do was that, well, I'm gonna stand between him and the cliff. So he's on this side of the wall. I'm on the drop-off. I'm going to stand next to him, and I'm going to hold his hand tight. And I'm going to walk him, and I'm not going to let him get to any side. I squeezed his hand. I held him the whole way, held him tight, walked up the cliff. We made it to the top. It was awesome. We got there, and he says, Daddy, I did it. I made it to the top. I wanted to look at him and said, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. I did it, right? When it was slippery, I was the one who held you and picked you up over that one. I was the one who did it. But can I say something to you, church? But the fact is, he made it because he had an advocate on his side. He made it because he had an advocate on his side. You got an advocate. The Holy Spirit is on your side. He's walking with you. He's guiding you. He's leading you this morning. If you're in the room, could you stand with me this morning? Let's just take a moment. Can we take a moment? If you feel comfortable, maybe raise your hand. Can we take a moment of our time and let's just surrender to the Holy Spirit right now? If you're in this place, if you feel comfortable, maybe you raise your hands and let's just take a moment. You have an advocate who is on your side. He is leading you. He is guiding you. He is protecting you. He is leading you by his Spirit. He wants to do that so much. But listen to me, as we're sitting in this moment, you and I have to surrender to the Lord. We have to surrender to his Spirit and say, we need you more than ever, God. Right now, as we just submit, we surrender, I'm praying right now, God, would you lead us in our families? God, lead us in our marriages. Lead us into as a church, oh God. We release control to you right now, Father. It belongs to you. Holy Spirit, come. There are those in the room who need an advocate, that need to know, God, that you are with us. We need to remember, God, that the Holy Spirit is an advocate, which literally means someone who walks alongside. Some of us need to hear that this morning. Some of us need to hear that this morning, Lord, as we just begin to worship you in this place.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Encourage you. We're going to take a unique moment here just for a second. right there where you're standing in this place, I'm going to encourage you. Would you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where are you guiding me? Lord, I need an advocate. I need you to work on my behalf. And right now in this moment, we're just going to be still for just a moment. Just if the keyboard plays softly, just for a moment. With your eyes closed, maybe in just your own place. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? I believe he wants to speak to you. He's not silent in your life. If you're here right now, let's just be still for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, what are you trying to speak to me? Where are you leading me? Where are you guiding me, God? In the stillness of this moment, maybe the Holy Spirit wants to convict your heart. Say, hey, I've fallen short in some areas, God. Holy Spirit, would you come and change my course? Maybe you've fallen short in some of the things of God, like haven't prayed as much, haven't worshiped as much. Lord, help me, guide me, advocate for me. I think there's some in the room today who need to make reconciliation, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you to make reconciliation. I think some of you in this room need to ask for forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Some of us have lacked in our generosity, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Some of you haven't really fully planted yourself in the church, and God's saying, hey, I've called you here. Plant, plant, plant. Some of you need to work on your relationship with your spouse, your kids, your grandkids. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Let's just be still for a moment. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Final question is, if the Holy Spirit will do this every day, maybe this is the practice you need to do every morning. Sit in a moment and say, Holy Spirit, what are you leading me? What are you speaking to me? And here's the question for all of us as we just take this moment. Are you available to be led? Holy Spirit will speak to you, but are you available to be led? Who's leading? So, Father, we're going to worship one more time in just a moment. I just want to pray this prayer. If you're here today, for us in this room today, I pray for the one who needs to reconcile, the one who needs forgiveness, the one you're leading to new directions, the one who's abandoned their call, the one who's not planted themselves, the one who's had one foot in and one foot out, and your Holy Spirit is advocating and leading us. The ones who's thoughts and attitudes haven't been where they wanted. Their habits, their addictions have not been where you want them to be. Holy Spirit, lead us. And we welcome you in this place. Let's sing that one more time together.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
let you go in a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed with me this morning. If you're here today, you heard this thing and this message, and you're like, hey, I want the Holy Spirit to lead my life. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me. I want to follow, but my life is not committed to Him at this point. That whole new identity thing is not there for you, and God wants to give you a new identity. And if you're here today, not to embarrass you, I can call you forward, it's right where you're sitting, but I want to pray for you. And you would say, Pastor Heath, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me, but I have to, it begins by giving my life to Him. If that's you this morning, no one's looking around, but just would you put your hand up, put it back down. I want to know who I'm praying for. Anyone at all? Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. Thank you. See hands everywhere. Thank you, Lord. You're so good, God. And so, Lord, we pray right now for that, those people in the room who put a hand up and say, God, I want to be led by you. I want to commit my life completely to you. Lord, we know it's not easy, and we know we're not perfect, but boy, do we ever serve a perfect God. We serve a God who went to the cross and died and shed his blood so that we can have a moment like this. And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a moment for people in the room. And if you're in here today, you raise your hand right where you're sitting. All you have to say is, God, forgive me. Come into my life. I believe in you, Jesus, and I want to be led by you. Restore to me. Take over my life. I committed my life to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray again for your church today. May your hand be upon us, Lord. May you watch over us and keep us, oh God. May you restore to each and every one of us this joy every morning to serve you. God, may peace reign in every situation that we walk into. May we carry it with us because we have such confidence in the Spirit that leads us. I pray for fear in this room, trepidation, confusion, and doubt. Well, God, it would be erased, and that you would create a group of people who just simply say, we trust, we trust. And so we love you today. We honor you. I pray blessings on your people. May you prosper them. May you grow them. May, Lord, may we see you active in their lives, and may they be careful always to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise that is due your name. In Jesus' name. Hey, we're going to let you go. Hey, if you haven't checked out the back of the roof, there's work going on, and we're excited for that every day. And we love you. We hope to see you next week, two of our services. Wednesday night prayer. Love to see you out here. Tons of sign-up sheets out front. Grab those, and we love you. God bless.